And welcome back.
And welcome back.
This is it.
Go ahead.
2 cents.
Yeah, you could do it.
No, oh.
2 cents podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. One second. Wait. You decided that's two your part now in this thing? That's like every single one. This is what you get to do now.
That was.
Okay.
I have a better and welcome back. I'm basically the rabbi.
While Yossi's trying to
save Stefanski
this.
Of this podcast, I am basically the rabbi Stefanski of this podcast.
Wow.
People send me all the time.
Yossi,
their kids saying, and welcome back to the 2 cents podcast. All the time they send it to me.
Hi, everybody. This is Ari Ben-Shushan.
And this is Yossi Ben-Shushan.
And this is the 2 cents podcast.
Brought to you and powered by Meaningful Minute.
I feel as if you're the kid who showed up with the basketball to the court and you're like, I have to play in every game because it's my ball. Like you're that guy. I have to be the one to announce
smart
it.
Smart kid.
I don't know. Smart kid, but
that kid,
does he have friends?
That kid, Ari.
Does he have friends?
That kid invests in order to have opportunities, which is a fantastic segue.
That's a good segue.
Thank you very much.
That's a good segue.
Into our topic for today.
This is true.
Which is, Ari, I know we said that the topic for today is money, but I actually think it's wealth. Because I don't see people talking about money. I guess there are people out there, but I don't see people talking about money that much or having the topic of money and talking about not having it. I see people talking about money by way of the abundance, which, Blian Ra, Baruch Hashem, we're in a time in history where the Jews are in abundance.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem. Which is amazing. And I'm not taking that away. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a beautiful thing. And it's a bracha. And we daven for parnasa. And we want parnasa. There's no question about it. I would actually go the other way. I don't like the evils that people go with money. You know, oh, that person's just trying to make money. Like, no, everyone's just trying to make money. Hang on a second. Number one. Number two, being wealthy is not an evil thing. There's nothing evil about it in any way. Just like a person who is wealthy and we're going to speak about this, that goes outside of tzniut with that wealth, is the same thing to me as a person who has a physical body and goes outside of tzniut with their physical body. It's the same thing. So what we're really talking about over here is wealth, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we decided to talk about this concept of wealth because it's something different. This is something that we're now seeing inside the world today that we didn't see growing up. You know, we saw a lot more simplicity growing up, and it's something that the newer generation is really now throwing so much of it into the world. It's just so apparent. It's just so everywhere. Yossi and I figured, you know, let's just talk about what it means to like deal with this. You know, the first thing that I thought of is that, you know, we've never had so many charities asking. You know, everybody gets all nuts. We all know it. Every single time you go and you look at your phone or your emails, there's another fundraiser. There's another crowdfunding, a charity, a Raise It. You know, all the different places that pledge, they're all looking and beautiful, you know. But we have to understand when we're feeling like, oh no, like there's just too many of them. We also have to appreciate that if Hashem is showing us today that there are so many organizations out there asking, that's because the Jewish wealth, like Yossi just said, is so astronomically high that the Jewish wealth is there to be able to take care of all of these fundraisers and then some. It really is a phenomenal time to see Baruch Hashem how the world is doing. And yes, there is enough out there. But the question now is, how is it dealt with? How is somebody meant to look at it, both from, if you, Baruch Hashem, are making that parnasa, how should you yourself be looking at the world? How should you go and kind of relate and communicate to the world? And also people who are not making it, like the two of us sitting over here, that you have to have five side hustles. No, it's the truth. How many side hustles do you have? I lost count.
Right.
That's a
really super point to hit on that I'll talk about in a minute, about, you know, who makes money and who doesn't, but go ahead.
You know, this idea of the rest of the world doing, you know, side hustle. I guess we shouldn't say places, but I was in a place on the East Coast. You have to take the Garden State to get there. And, I was talking to a friend of mine who's doing okay. He's doing okay. And, he said to me, like, I'm like, dude, you're doing okay. You know, you're doing okay. And he said to me, you know, for the 10 or 20% that's really doing incredible out there, he said, you have to understand that there's still the 80% that are really, really, really struggling. And, for those people who are struggling, this podcast is for you as well. How do you deal with that? How do you roll with that? So yes, let's get into it. I, Ari Ben Shushan, live in a very non-Gashmi place. I live in Los Angeles. And
yeah,
Mamish Yossi, there's no Gashmi over here. Amongst the Yidden, I'ma say it, Avi. Oh, I'ma say it. I'ma say it. There's no Gashmi up in this. There's no Gashmi. We're simple Yidden.
Zero.
We are simple Yidden in Los Angeles.
Pashti Yid.
The Pashti Yid. I'm telling you, if you would take a black and white picture of a Pashti Yid in the 1800s in Grushtrakov, whatever, Poland, with his mule.
It's indiscernible.
You couldn't be like, I don't know which one it is. Which a Pepsi Coke challenge. You'd fail it all day. All day. I'm telling you, that's just who we are.
They have him and the guy on Wilshire Boulevard are wearing the same fedora.
I'm just saying that's the way. Maybe the flip flops. Oh, I forgot. Flip flops would give it away.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Yeah. The Lululemon pants might throw people off.
Again, that might or might not. You know, the guy may not have gotten the message that either you go extra slim fit or you don't buy him, and therefore you may not be able to discern. Anyhow, by the way,
tourniquet or turnout.
Shout out to the first yeshiva bacher who walked by Lululemon the first time and said, this is a yoga pants store. Maybe I should go in there and look for yeshiva pants. You know, there had to have been that first guy.
No, Ari, shout out to the first mashkiach and a masifta that allowed it.
Because this is true.
After he finally allowed it, now every yeshiva was finally allowed to get comfortable.
This is true. But
and no one made a big deal about it.
The reason why I'm not giving the mashkiach too much is because the kid first came in with his Adidas Trios with like the zipper on the side.
It was the compromise.
The mashkiach is like, honestly, you got to get out of here with those. And then he came back in with the spray on pants, Lululemon. And the mashkiach was like, all right, you know, I guess that's what we're going with. Okay. So, So it,
I was literally just thinking the same thing as, what's going on in my ear right now. Did you just say Adidas?
I don't
Trios?
Know what it's called.
I just didn't think of the joke quick enough. I didn't know which direction to go.
I
laid down a monster and I didn't make fun of you for it.
I have children. Who say these words and I try to pick up on them. I don't know.
Trios is the Kemach brand.
Trios is the Kemach band of Oreos. That needs that meaningful.
I'm sorry, we have our producers in our ears. No one just let that go. Nachi and Nissan are having a field day right now.
They're on it.
Okay.
But Yossi, that should be the next meaningful minute merch has got to be Trios is the Kemach brand of Oreos. That is very good.
Ari, we should get Lululemon.
to sponsor,
you know, alongside
yeah, to just finish off the fit.
Yeah, Lululemon, Cole Haan, and Collars and Coke.
No, OC, Yussi.
It's the perfect trifecta.
OnCloud, Yussi, the OnCloud sneakers to be the trifecta there. At the end of it. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Right, talking about meat boards. Let's see.
Let's jump in, though. I want to say that they're
yeah.
No, you were saying. Go ahead. Continue saying.
In LA, it's a very simple place. People think we're full of Gashmi over here, but the Goyim here are Gashmi. In LA, we're an out of town place where people, the Sheifas of money, I'll be honest, it's not as high. They don't dress as fancy. They're not as driven into the physicality. Whereas I've gone to more, and I'll say it, a little bit more yeshivish places, and the drive towards Gashmi, the drive towards making everything just so. And so I want to talk about that. Yeah, I want to talk. So go ahead, let me hear your take.
I agree and disagree. Because I have to fight this a lot of times with a lot of people. You know, I'm also like, oh, you know, you have a yeshivish person who's sitting there, a yeshiva guy who's sitting over there with, you know, $150 pants and $400 shoes. I'm like, but you know what? At the end of the day, this guy doesn't have that many outlets to what do you know? So, okay. I don't know. I don't know. I judge them. I don't know, but I will throw this out. I think personally, and again, this is a Yossi Menchushan thought. So it could be accurate. It could not. I think what happened was that back in the day, you remember Brooklyn back in the day, before when Brooklyn was in town. You know, and like it was so
they
when it was just Brooklyn,
they had,
that was the only in
they
town.
Had that one tree that we would go and visit on Chol HaMoed. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we had Kosher Delight and we had like these three other places. You know, there's a couple pizza shops. Like it was about getting and eating food and sustaining. Now, I'm gonna be the first one to say that I am a complete and absolute hypocrite here in a lot of ways, right? Ari and I both very much enjoy food to the point of even referring to ourselves as foodies a couple of times. And we definitely, you know, Ari's very big into smoking meats.
I'm not a foodie though.
And all with the excuse of covet Shabbos. Obviously, you're not. Of course not. Obviously, with the excuse of covet Shabbos and everything, and me too. And you know, I'm very big into cooking and grilling and our coffees and all these things. I agree. I'm not above any of this. What I'm saying is that back in the day, a gevir was a different thing, and they really took care of communities, and they really. And I think people either got younger, wealthier, younger. Or didn't have the same type of hadracha. I don't know what it was, but at some point, and I think my point of bringing up Kosher Delight and all these things when we were a kid, was that like when we were kids, you would go to Kosher Delight. We never went, but let's just say we would go to Kosher Delight like once a year for your birthday. Like that was a Kapanash, right? You would go for like your birthday. Like nowadays, people are ordering out like every single night, and it's all out there. And I don't know that I have a problem with that in any way. I just think that what happened was over the course of time, we started considering things, and things have become necessities that weren't necessities before. And to keep up with people has become very, very, very difficult. But there's a tremendous, break that has happened, I think, in younger generations. I remember when I moved here to Cleveland, Blian and I, there are some very, very well-to-do people that live in Cleveland. You will not know it driving by their house. They live on a regular, there's no gated, you know, what he calls it, on a regular block, regular people, regular cars, regular everything. And they take their responsibility to their community very, very high. They take that responsibility. The point I'm making is that when I moved here, a guy came up to me and he said, we were talking about something, and he said, you should know, a couple of years ago, because it was a very big person in the community over here, Mendy Klein, a very holy, very special person. He had passed away right before I actually met him when I was checking out the community, and he had passed away right when I got off the plane, actually going back to Israel after I checked out the community. A fantastic person. We could talk about him for forever, but someone came up to me and said that Mendy invited him and a few other young people in the community to a meeting. And he came in, he's like, it was about a year before he passed away. And he said, I'm not going to be around for forever. And all the other people that you think this community relies on are not going to be around for forever. You guys need training to know how things work, to know what happens, to know what your responsibilities are when it comes your time to take over. And then he dropped the bomb. He said, and it might be that I will be around for a really long time. And guess what? It's still your responsibility to know how to take over. And I thought that was amazing.
Yep.
I don't know if it worked, but I thought it was amazing. It was such an amazing concept. And when you see Mendy's kids, I'm friends with a lot of them. When you see Mendy's kids, you know, there is this tremendous, no matter what happens in the community, there's this tremendous responsibility that they hold, that it's, that there's zero question being asked. It's on them that if something was needed in the community and so no one approached them, they would have a tie-in on that. Like, why did no one say anything? Like, how come that? This responsibility, I believe, has been lost a little bit in Klal Yisrael. It's like, I give and I give and I give and I give, but where is your responsibility at? That's the Asay Toiv part, I believe. The Tzor Me'ra part, I think, is this concept of tznius. I personally, it wasn't me. My wife decided that we don't eat veal anymore in my house. We do not eat veal anymore. And the reason we don't eat veal anymore, however much I happen to love veal, and God, Hashem, please make it that this episode never plays in front of my mother. She should live to be 120. However, foolishly, all right. But let this episode never play in front of her. But I we don't eat veal anymore. And the reason is my wife brought up a very good question to me, and she brought it up in front of my kids, so I had to go with it. But she brought a very good question. She's like, yes, veal is kosher. And I'm not saying anyone shouldn't eat veal. I'm not saying I have a stance on veal. But veal is kosher. There's no question. It's kosher. Without a question, it's kosher. But is that kosher? What they do to that animal before shechting it, is that kosher? All these people running around saying that shechita is the most humane way to, what do you call it? To shech, to kill, to whatever. Is that what they do to veal? Is that kosher? And everyone's like, but I have my pass. And that, I think, has become the mentality. I have my pass. I gave my ma'aser and I gave my tzedakah and I gave my, and I'm involved in this and I'm involved in this. I have my pass. We've become so inclined to just have our pass without taking on our responsibility. Look around our lives. What is it that we're doing for a 4-year-old's birthday party that goes so far above and beyond anything? For what? Really, for what sake? For what situation? What are we trying to do? And is that really kosher? I get the pizza that you had there was kosher, and the caterer that you had was kosher. I get it's all kosher. I just want to end with this little anecdote, too, but I'll do the other one later. I was at a event. That's all I'll say. I was at an event one time, and I spoke, and it was a very lavish affair. And I was done speaking, and a waiter came over to me afterwards, and he said, you know, I'm so interested in spirituality. I'm so interested in this. I'm interested in that. I really liked your speech. And he's asking me all these questions. We're talking for a little bit. Sure enough, during the meal part, we went from one place where the speech was happening into another place where there was a buffet and all these things. And Ari, I'm telling you, there was an entire herd of cows. Wow. Just all over the tables, just murdered everywhere, just like meat poured on top of meat. It was amazing. And I go to one of the parts over there, and this waiter comes up to me and he says, can I ask you a question about about Judaism? And I'm like, yeah, sure, go. And he goes, is gluttony not a sin in Judaism?
Wow.
And I'm like, well, I can see why that would be confusing for you in this setting here. And I had nothing to say, and he was right. He was right. We all look like a bunch of, like, and everyone's fighting for, it was, what was going on? Just because something's kosher doesn't make it kosher. That's my point. Yeah. My point of the veal was, is that they force feed it and they do all things like that. It's just, it's sar balei chayim. It's like, is that okay for us to eat? Just because it still was killed kosher.
Meaning that although the shlita is not.
The process of making veal is, the process of making veal is very painful for the animal. So is that okay to do to an animal in order for me to eat it? Even if it was shechteret, it's totally kosher. Right. The whole process, everything's kosher. But by kosher, we mean you're not eating treif. Does that mean you're eating kosher? Right. And by spending money on things, by living lavishly, by going overboard, I get it. It's not treif. But does that mean that it's kosher? Hey, guys. And we're going to take a little break right now to welcome one of our closest friends here at the Two Cents Podcast. We will get back to our episode in 1 minute. Rav Nesanel Gans. Rabbi Gans, how are you?
Wow, it's been like a long time since we spoke. So I'm glad to be here. Tell me about the episode. What are you guys talking about that we could tie into Yalachim?
So the truth is, this episode, I think, goes directly. This is one of those that speak for themselves. We're speaking about money. We're speaking about Gvir culture. We're speaking about all sorts of overspending and overindulging over and over and over and over. However, I think there's a tremendous balance that people can hit. And I think when a person is able to recognize where money is spent well, one of the ideas we were discussing is where money is spent well, that really creates the balance. So there's nothing better for me in my head that I could think of than Yad Lacham.
Wow. So first of all, thank you for that. You know, people are not aware that if you open up a Mishnah Berurah or the halacha says that when it comes to priorities of tzedakah, the absolute number one priority is pidyon shvuyim. It comes before hachnasas kala, tayr, anything. That's the halacha, the first halacha. And, you know, Rav Ozdenwald said that Yad Lachas fulfills the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim midday raisa. And I always wondered why that's an interesting statement. So I wonder like this, you know, if a yid's in jail, nebuch, not necessarily doesn't mean it's pidyon shvuyim. It could be there's something wrong. It might be mitzvah to get it out, but it's not necessarily pidyon shvuyim. But the Jewish women and children that are trapped, that's pidyon shvuyim. And whoever goes to save a Jewish life, that's the best balance you can make with your money. I always say, I went to a yeshiva when I was a kid, and kids, they always scare you. When you come to the next world, you do averis, all these bad malachim are waiting for you. Who knows what's going on? I say the opposite. If you save a Jewish woman as a child through Yad Lachem, you come to the next world, you also won't be able to get in. There'll be so many good malachim you don't know that you created with this investment that you did from saving a person. You're saving their generation, future generations. It's the best investment that gives them going, right? Everyone's looking for good deals these days. This is the best investment because every kid has had more kids and more kids. And it's literally an eternal investment that you will take you with you to the grave. So my money doesn't go to the grave. Wherever you spend money in the bank, this is money in the bank. This is money you're taking with you. Wow. Right?
That's incredible. Wow. That's incredible. That's really what it is. What better investment is there than in saving a life in reality?
Right. That's why I could say the website till also a phone number. They see it, saveaworld.org. We're here
saveaworld.org.
By the way, money, I appreciate you guys also. People that know Reb Ari and Reb Yossi both have donated very generously to Yad Lachem. We really, really appreciate it. So they don't just talk.
We believe in it.
It's not just talk because we're sponsors. They really, really believe in what they're saying. And we appreciate it, and we hope everyone follows.
100%. 100%. Saveaworld.org, guys. Saveaworld.org. Get out there. Let's save some lives together.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you said it really well. And all together, you know, all these lavish, crazy things that are everybody's outdoing each other with it. And yeah, I do smoke the meat over there, and it's enjoyable. And but it's not something that we go out of control on. You know, it's not something that we as regular people go out, but then you have these events for fundraisers sometimes, and they really, really have gotten to the next level of crazy because so many people now expect it. So many people expect that's the way.
Not only expect it, Ari, not only expect it, they won't come.
They won't, right. They won't
come if that's not going on.
They are waiting for their friend who's already there to send pictures of what's the chiddush of this. You know, do they have this massive like metal kind of cage where they have a fire in the middle and they have carcasses hanging all around it with like pineapples and lemons and oranges. Like, do they have something nuts like that? Are they blasting music? And even though it's during the 3 week, I just recently, it's during the 3 weeks and they were blasting music either way. And they're just doing all these different things and all of it for the sake of, and then you're going to say an organization, but I don't know. I just feel that that has lost. They've lost the way a little bit. They've lost the, I don't know. They've lost the thing of what Yiddish kind of is.
You know what I just thought of? You know what I just thought of? You know where I, the same thing is going on. Tons of food, tons of blasting music, tons of, and you would never think this in the world about that place. If you go up to Meiron and you go up by Roshim Bayachai, if you go up to Meiron Lag BaOmer and you see all those Svarnim, And all the other people, they're sitting there, see them, they're like, they're shechting the goats on the spot and grilling it like right there. They're shechting these sheep and grilling them and just an abundance and everyone's giving out food and it's so big and it's so, no one over there feels, someone here went overboard with them because that's kosher abundance. There's such a nafgamina there.
Yeah. I mean, it's because over there, you look at it and you say, they're not doing it to show off. They're not doing it to like, meh, meh, look at me. I'm Mr. Monopoly. Meh. You know, that's not it. There's a simcha and this is how they went about it. Now, this keeps on going and going and we're probably going to get flack for it. I'm going to get flack for this. I'm going to get emails from people. Wealthy people are going to look at us and say, these guys don't know what they're talking about. They don't have any money. And it's true. You know, we don't have a lot of money. I understand that. And I don't understand the Yetzer Hara of it. You know, very famously, the Chafetz Chaim once, you know, this very famous story that he came into the Beis Medrash and he asked for Hatavat Chalom. He asked for three people to sit down and to, like as a Beis Din, because he had a bad dream, to go and to kind of release him from the bad dream. And they asked him, what was the dream? And he said, I dreamt that I became rich. And what's wrong with coming? He's like, do you understand the Achrayus? Do you understand the Yetzirah of it? And the answer is, I don't. You're right. I don't. So it's not right for me to judge, and I'm not judging. And this is what I want to come across clearly. We are not judging. That's not it. We are trying to use from Chovat Levavot that talks about so many different areas from his perspective of what wealth is. And he says, wealth is Hashem gave you money to take care of yourself and then disperse to everyone else. You do that, Hashem will continue to give you. Do it not, and he'll find somebody else. Rabbeinu Yaina in Pirkei Avos says the same exact thing, word for word. Rabbeinu Yaina says, Hashem gave you this money, you take care of it for yourself, and you disperse to everybody else. I'm telling you what it is that we see inside the Sfarim to give off. Now, if you feel that your need is that a four-year-old's birthday party has to outdo Pesach programs, and if you feel that the need is that Pesach programs have to outdo the Shah's son's wedding, and if you feel that all of these different things have to be so beyond, and that's your need, so then you need to look into the mirror and say, really, is that the need? Because I fell for it, Yossi. I fell for it. Meaning that once we started to get a little bit, well, you know, more known, so Pesach programs, a bunch of them called me and asked me to come for. I'm like, good deal. I get to go and have like a very nice Pesach, you know, in a lavish place. And I went once or twice and there were beautiful places. And to be honest, if I can change it, I wouldn't. I really enjoyed it. I met beautiful people and we had a terrific time together. It was really nice. And would I go back to them? Yeah, Choliot, I'm not saying I wouldn't. But this is the point I want to point out. You want to know one of the reasons why I went to it? I wanted to show my kids how successful Abba is. I wanted to show my kids, you see what we're doing? And so by Hanukkah, one of the nights of Hanukkah, the first time I went to a Pesach hotel, I already agreed to do it by Hanukkah time because, you know, they have to advertise early. One of the nights of Hanukkah, I printed out the flyer of me being one of the speakers by a Pesach program. I showed it. I said, here's your Hanukkah present. Like, Abba, what is this? I said, we're going to a hotel for Pesach. And the kids like, wow. They enjoyed it. Fast forward 2 years. On that third year, I had the chance again. I said to the kids, hey, Abba's going to... They all said to me, Abba, please don't do it. I'm like, why not? I said, Abba, can we just stay at home? I'm like, really? They said, Abba, it's just too much work. Is that too much work for you? They're like, yeah, I don't know. All the eggs in the morning and all the, who needs that? We just want to be at home and be with you. And this is what I want to tell to all of the wealthy people out there who feel that they need. A lot of times you're doing it because you didn't have it. I know I didn't have it. And we're trying to show our kids and maybe show ourselves that we've hit it. But just know they don't need to see it. The kids don't need to be impressed by it. They just want you. They don't need to see the lavishness. And so what is sometimes the solution to this? The solution sometimes is, and Yossi said it, really, what do you need? What is the outcome of this? What's going to be the ultimate outcome of what you're doing right now? Are your kids going to be better off? Is your marriage going to be better off? What do you need? Or are you sidestepping a problem and trying to build this fantasy of house of cards around you? Because I found out that my kids not just don't need, but they don't want to go out to me. Now, will I go to another hotel for Pesach? Could be. I want to give my wife a break. You know, I know that I'm affecting Kalai so in a positive way with that, but I'm going to go at it now with a much better understanding that my kids come first, a much better understanding that it shouldn't ruin.
Without a question. I wanted to just touch on this one thing. I'm not going on wealthy people here. I'm not, because I think there's the concept of wealth versus the people who actually have the money to pull it off. There are a lot of people who don't have the money to pull it off and are still pulling it off. And I think it takes bravery. I think it takes a lot more bravery to be a wealthy person and dial back than nowadays than it takes to be a non-wealthy person and go up. I think it's a lot braver to dial back, because when you can and you don't,
Gvura.
Go, and again, I'm talking about go crazy. When you can and you don't, the gvura of that is tremendous. You're saying, I have nothing to prove to anyone. Yeah, my sister-in-law is still going to come. My brother-in-law is still going to come to the event and be like, this is it. And I'll be like, yeah, this is it. Good for you. Like, there is that. There is that concept. And that's a gvura that I honestly don't know if I have. But one thing I wanted to bring up, which is that, you know, what the negative impact of a lot of these wealth standards are. So I just want to use this as an example and go on a rant for half a second about it. You know, we barely have any Moras or Rebbeim left. I don't know if everyone's aware of this issue that's going on in schools everywhere the world over in every Jewish community. They don't, I don't know why it's being kept quiet. It is being kept quiet. Dafka being kept quiet. I've seen it being kept quiet. I'm yelling about it because I don't agree with the reasons that they told me that they want to keep, certain people told me that they want to keep it quiet. I don't agree with it at all. And I'll burn for it.
No, you're not going to burn. Let's do this.
I get burned for it. I don't think I'm going to burn for it. We have a major shortage of Rebbeim and Moras in the Jewish world right now. And the reason is very, very, very simple, everybody. The reason is that if you have a person who can walk in to a fourth grade classroom in 2023 with children who have iPads, television, all these things and all technology and all these things at home, all these things around them, and just stop all this stuff going on, have an abundance, have all of this. So there's one part of it. Have an abundance of all these things that you could walk in. Now, first of all, do you have any idea, you know, like what it used to be in a pirche that a kid got a Laffy Taffy rope? Like, whoa, nowadays, I'm saying it has gotten to even the point of the Candyman and Shul now is rolling in full carts of, you know, yeah, a clown, you know, juggling and, you know, a seal knocking all of the candies into kids' mouths. Like, you know, it's gotten to that point. You have any idea what it is for him to try, by the way, with money that he's pulling out of his own pocket for those incentives to try to, and then the next point, do you have any idea the talent? The insane talent
necessary
and dedication it takes to hold those kids to be able to make Chumash interesting to them. You have any idea? And then you're going to say this incredibly talented person, insanely talented person who can sell a bridge to anyone. He can sell ice to Eskimos. We're going to give him his 30-40 a year. He's going to have to work three other jobs. We still want him just as active and jumping in the classroom.
Got to be in it.
Do not lose one ounce of that energy. Mm-hmm. You got, don't lose 1 ounce of that energy. And then on Hanukkah, a couple of parents are going to give him a $50 check to be like, I got you. I know the struggle. I know. And when his kid's bar mitzvah comes, all the angels are going to descend from on high and say, we want to chip in a little bit for this bar mitzvah. You loser who can't pay for your own kid's bar mitzvah. Yeah. So this guy who's more talented. I'm sorry. I'm really trying here. Who's so much more talented than so many of these other people who can do insane things in business. You want to talk about a sale? This guy can sell anything. And he chooses to use that koach. She chooses. Oh my God. A mora. You know what the average mora deals with in a classroom? Now she could go out and also order everything from AliExpress and have a storefront somewhere to, what do you call it, and make her, but she doesn't. She doesn't, because she's out there doing her thing. And
or she has to,
that we give to these people,
or she has to at night.
Yeah.
At night, because
yeah, yeah,
she's
yeah,
also,
yeah, she has to. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's her other jobs, three jobs.
Right.
And I'm telling you, Ari, this definitely has happened to you. I'm sorry. I'm about to go on a rant. Okay. Forget it. We're doing it. Ari, this definitely has happened to you. And any Rebbe out there, this has happened to you for sure, where you went over to someone in the school and it's not their fault. There's no money there either. But you went over and said, I need a raise. I've been working here for X amount of time. $100 a month raise is not going to do it for me. I need a real raise. I need a real, what do you call it? And they offered you another job. They said, they started picking apart your life. They started saying, well, what do you do after 5 p.m.? I could get you a tutoring job at night. What chutzpah do you have entering into my life? Who gave you the permission to do that? Who allowed you to do that? I have a job. I work the same hours as everyone else. Who gave you that right? So everyone's going to say, and people have said it to them, and this is where the shortage came from, and this is why they want to try to keep it quiet, because people said to them, student, don't do the chinuch job. Let's see you do another. So they go do another job, because if you think it's easy to hold those four-year-olds, to hold those fourth graders' attention and print out all of those things and do that research, you're insane. So they do. They go get another job and they do very well. You don't have any idea how many Rebbeim I knew that were amazing Rebbeim.
We both know a lot of them.
Phenomenal. Top of the line that right now are doing so well in business. Doing so well in business. And yeah, I'm going to say it. Every time that I'm going to go to them to do a thing in their house, or I'm going to, what do you call it? They do look and they do salivate a little bit at it. And they're like, you're still working with the boys? Oh, how's this guy doing? And how's this happening? They still would love it. They still would love it. And we're not giving them the opportunity to do it. And I know I'm screaming I'm talking to the choir here, and everyone agrees, and no one knows what to do about it. And maybe I don't know what to do about it either, but to keep it hidden and to say that, you know, all of these things are on them. My point is that their kid also wants that big bar mitzvah. Their kid also wants that big this. Their kid also wants that big thing, because that's who they're hanging out with also. You know, your kid is in their kid's class too. Everyone's kid is in that. I'm not ranking on the wealthy people. I'm going on the wealth mindset, on that desperate need mindset.
And it comes down to the responsibility of it. You know, a beautiful thing happened. I don't think we're going to say names, but, you know, a very well-known gvir and Muncie did the most beautiful thing, where he got together to make sure that the Kotel Yidden in Lakewood are taken care of. And he ran a massive campaign to be able to give them the life that they deserve by Adirei HaTorah. The beautiful aspect of what came out from that, a Kiddush Hashem Shein Kamayu. And I tell my students all day, if Ari Ben Shushan ever won the lottery, everybody's got a plan if they win the lottery, right? If Ari Ben Shushan ever won the lottery, what I would do is I would go to every single school in America, elementary school and high school, and I would say to them, what would it cost for me to go and pay the rest of the salary for every one of your Rebbeim and Moras so that they don't need a second and third job? How much more would it cost? Because I just want them to be a 10th grade Rebbe. I just want him to be a third grade Rebbe. That's all I want him to do.
And I don't want to, that's not a chesed.
No.
I want that to be his paycheck.
Meaning like, don't.
I want that to be what he earns.
Because that's what he earns.
Because a Rebbe's job should be something that is envied.
And put away.
He should be envied by other people who could not get that job.
And put away money afterwards. You'll see, I was sitting, I'm going to say the story. I'm going to say it out. I was, you know, I give this woman share in the morning, and the woman got together once and they bought us like a few $100 gift certificate to go to Pat's, to a very wealthy, you know, a very high-end restaurant here in LA. Came home and I said to Naomi, we're going out. You know, they gave us. So we go out that night and Naomi got dressed up. My wife got dressed up. I got put together. We're sitting there and we're ordering, you know, like, and one of the wealthier people in the community was there. And he walked up to me and he looked me and he said, I didn't know rabbis were doing so well that you get to eat out in Pat's. And like a loser, I explained myself and I said to him, well, I was given a gift certificate because what right do you have to tear? It hurts. Nobody understands the struggle. What right do you have?
People don't get it.
To tear our heart out. You see, because Chelsea, I know my responsibility and you know yours, that I'll take care of your kids for free. And that's why they don't make the money. You see, they know the third grade Rebbe will do it for free. And they know that Yossi Ben Shushan will speak to your right. kid for free. And they know because we know our job and we're willing to sacrifice anymore, for it. Yeah. I know it's hard, but we know our job and we're willing to give for it. And we're willing to die for it. And we're willing to make our kids and wife suffer through the lack of funds for it because that's our responsibility. Where's yours? Instead of walking up to me and saying, does a Rebbe have a right to eat in Pat's? Pay the check. Be a gevir. Walk up to the guy and be like, that's Rabbi Ben Shushan. Whatever he eats tonight is on me. Because you know what? I'll end this off with a nice story. There was another time I ate in Pat's with Moshe Levy. There was another time I was there and there was another gevir. And that gevir walked up and he saw that Moshe Levy and I split one main, and that was all we can afford. We split one steak between us. He's like, what are you guys eating? Like, yeah, we split the whatever. He's like, are you kidding me? A waiter walked by. He stopped the waiter, and he said, what's good on the appetizers tonight? The waiter said four things. Like, bring it to this table. What's good on the main? He said three things. Bring it to this table. And it's on me. The tip is on me, too.
Wow.
That's the difference. That's right. That's what we want the world to know.
Right.
That's what we want the world to know. We want the world to know that if you're making that astronomical amount of money, it's the same as the astronomical amount of talent that you're listening to right now between us that we've given it to the world. Your astronomical amount of money should be given in kind.
Right. And the point that a lot of people are going to say is, well, I don't, what he meant is, and what I mean is that the Rebbe of my kid, I don't want him to need a steak. I don't want him to need a, what he called. You can have that, by the way. You can totally have, but. When that Rebbe totally doesn't understand why your kid wants to wear a certain type of pants and ossers it from the school, when that Rebbe can't understand why you have a phone or why this is happening, you don't get to complain because that's what you bought into. If you want the Rebbe that understands that what he calls, because he's part of that world also.
Yep.
But he's just really good at connecting and he's really good at teaching and he's really good at that. So again, I'm not ranking on anyone specific here. I'm trying to make and I'm sorry we got so emotional about this, but you have to understand how many years and years and years of this there
was.
We
left there just all because of this.
I mean, this isn't okay to do to these people. I have a hard time walking through my kid's school because of it. Okay. But to move a little bit, I do want to say this. There are people, like Ari just said, there are people. There very much are people. I was so touched. This Rabbi Kutoff that I worked with in the high school over here, came over to me and he says, do you need anything? I'm like, I don't. Yeah. are you offering me alcohol? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, two, wealthier people in the area called and they said that, they love the work that we're doing here. They love the work that you're doing and they want to make sure that you don't have to split your attention, that you get to stay with the kids here and you get to what he called. They want to know, is there anything pressing? Is there a credit card bill? Is there a this? Is there a that? Is there anything pressing that they can take care of for you? And they want, and he said one of them, and I don't have permission to say the guy's name. I would love to. He's a close friend of mine right now. One of them, who he wasn't supposed to tell me the name also. I got it out of him. He said, one of them said, we also want him to know one very important point. This is not tzedakah and it's not ma'aser.
Beautiful.
This is us just telling him we really appreciate that he lives here. That's it. I couldn't breathe. We got off topic, but the culture, what can be done about it? I think is how we should end. What could be done about it?
Awareness.
This is one of those things. This is one of those things that I think it starts. I think it ends when something really bad happens. Drinking in shuls have gotten a lot less nowadays. In certain shuls, because bad things happen.
Or they set up like a Sarah Mashkin to make sure,
to
make sure
they took control. That's my point. That's what I mean. I think we're waiting for things to happen, and that's how we are as Jews. We wait for a tragedy and then we respond in kind. This one, maybe we can act before the react. And, how do we start? The way we start, I think, is by focusing on what is the message that we want to send? What is the real message that we want to send? So let's say we're doing a bar mitzvah. What is the message I want to send to this kid? That he needs all this? Like, what is the message? Come from the place of, what am I compensating for with this? Because a lot of times when these big things are happening, we're trying to compensate for something.
Very good.
We're trying to tell you, don't look behind the curtain. Just look at what I'm presenting here. What are we trying to compensate for? And what's a much healthier, better way to compensate? That's what I would say. And I think it has to start with the individual. I don't think takanas are gonna work. I don't think Rabbanim changing it. And this is the first thing I hear. The rabbi should go over to the guys in the shul and tell them they can't make these big things anymore. That's a fantastic idea. Go over to your boss and punch him in the face. That's a fantastic idea. No, as it is, they yelled at him because he went three minutes over on the drasha last week. No, he's not going to be the one to do it. It's going to be the people as individuals that are going to be able to do it. And again, I would suffer from this too. So I'm not talking down when I say this, but I think it's something people have to hear. If you're too afraid of your friends, they're not your friends. If you're too afraid that your friends are going to belittle you
or not be impressed
for holding back or not be impressed or not stick around the simcha longer, they are not your friends. And I am doing you the biggest favor in the world by telling you to scale back.
So we went really overtime over here. Let's just recap. We were talking here about the tznius of it. We were talking here about the responsibility of it. You said a great line of, what are you compensating for with it? It's really an awareness of where a person's holding. And just know that you wield great responsibility if you have all that. But there's one last thing I wanted to finish off with, because we didn't talk about it. Those of us who don't have, we spoke about those who do. Those of us who don't have, how do we look at it? And I just want to finish off with this one word, which is that we know Hashem runs the world, and that simply we appreciate what we do have. We look at the shlemut in our life of what it is that we do have, and understand that Hashem gives and Hashem takes care of everybody according to what it is that they need.
Okay, I know we're over time here. I just want to say one last thing. I'm sorry. I just on this concept you brought up once, where we were on a panel with Rabbi Wallerstein one time. Oh, sure. You, me, Rabbi Wallerstein, and a few other people. And Rabbi Wallerstein was like blown away by this when you said this. And I thought it was such a great point, where you said that, how was it that we, someone else on the thing was saying that these kids have gotten so spoiled and they've gotten so this and so that. And I don't want to sound like that. I really, guys, I don't want to come off as bitter. I apologize. I don't want to come off as bitter. What I mean by that is that Ari said it the best in that thing. Again, Rabbi Austin was very impressed with it, where he said, my father didn't play golf. My father didn't spend money on himself, didn't go out to a restaurant. And I'll take it a step further. I say this all the time. My father didn't have friends. And I want to explain what that means. He had a lot of friends. He had brothers. He had these guys that came over with him from Morocco. He had chavrusas. He had friends that he would die for and that would die for him. He didn't have drinking buddies. He just didn't have it. Once a year, once a year, Simchas Torah, we would be at Rabbi Lankery Shul, and he would, for maybe an hour, get to sit with his friends, eat real good Moroccan food, and laugh and sing and talk together. That was like the once a year you would find. Other than that, it was all, so when we weren't looking up at that, we didn't need it. It came later. When your children are looking up at you and seeing what is it that you need? You need a constant this and a constant that and all the, then they feel entitled to that as well. So I think a very important point is that realize our kids are looking at us over here, and it's our responsibility to set an example of what tzniut is, of what being able to, of what gvura is, of what being able to hold back is, and of what not compensating for things.
And if you don't say no, if you don't say no to yourself, it's harder to say no to them. That's, if you don't control yourself, it's harder to expect control from them. Rabotai, wow. Right. So this was a heavy one. Yossi, thank you. This was a good, little chat.
We have to do a funny episode.
This one started out funny. Spoke about, by the way, they are Tiro. Yeah. They're Tiro pants. Yossi, Tiros. So just gonna end off with that. I'm Ari Ben-Shushan.
Oh, was that what you
That's what I was trying to say. And I said trio because I'm just not good at it. Oh, they're Tyro? That's what he just said? Tiro? How am I supposed to know these things? Who's going to who will educate us if not to? So,
trio.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
All right. I'm Ari Ben-Shushan.
Okay. I'm going to be sending Ari some Amazon links, and I'm Yossi
Ben-Shushan.
And this is the Two Cents Podcast.
Have a great day, everybody.